Good morning. All right, let's try it again. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you. Just making sure you all are awake this morning. Let's take just a few minutes, and I know we do a pretty good job of it, but let's take a few minutes and greet anybody that maybe we didn't see coming in and just spend some time enjoying each other's company real quick.
Here I am.
Is
there anything unusual this morning?
They're having fun. It's too much fun to be at church.
Okay. Sorry, I'm a little unorganized this morning. All right, do we have any announcements do we have any first-time visitors? I think everybody looked familiar.
Don't recognize. Is that Cody back there? You okay, Cody?
Yay.
100% or 82% or 82% or something?
They're about
appendectomy emergency, last week?
Last.
Yeah.
Well, we're glad you're here and doing okay. All right, are there any announcements this morning?
Just wanted to invite you to our classical music concert that's going to be Saturday night at 6 o'clock for harp and handbell music. And for those who can come Saturday, we have an open dress rehearsal Friday at 4:30. No refreshments, no candles and candelabras, but still the same music. But there will be refreshments on Saturday.
Louis.
And the responsibilities are on the second page. If you wonder what does this committee do, look at the second page. And that's kind of pretty close, yeah. Mike Miller, I need to see you before you leave. Let me mention communion Wednesday night. Wednesday night being Christmas Eve, we traditionally have Christmas Eve communion. And if you're new, you may not know the process. People come to the church. They find a place in a darkened or semi-dark sanctuary, meditate, pray, or wait. And when nobody else is here at the altar, you and your group come forward. Your group could be, it would be a group, but we could have one person that came. I'll be here to relate a little bit about the Christmas experience, or the birth of Christ experience, and administer the sacraments. Sometimes groups come as large as 40. I think we've had that many spread out, families. I think Jerry Bowers and his extended family, Mr. Mills Wagner and their extended family. But sometimes it's just one person. If you're here, if you're just one person, and another two or three are in the altar, please come up with them if you would so desire. You come with your special prayer concerns, and you can share them here at the altar, and we'll present them to God right there. So that's Wednesday night. We'll be here from 5 to 7. From 5 to 7. If these hours don't meet your schedule, please let me know, and we've always, and will this year, meet you when you can be here. Any questions about that? Most everybody knows how it operates, but maybe some new people would not know. So from 5 to 7 Wednesday night. That's the only thing to be here Wednesday night. The following Wednesday night is New Year's Eve. We don't have anything planned for the church that night. Just do your personal New Year's Eve welcoming. Make it a Christian experience, please. We hope. And so I wanted to share that. Poinsettia, if we think we got all the names in. We believe we did. If we miss one, we'll publish it next week. You can take it after the service today or after the service, after you have been here on Wednesday evening. And we don't plan to deliver any to your house because we won't know who took and who did not. But if you want to take yours today, that's okay too. And then Wednesday night or even after the 10:15 service. I think we have 35 here, and I think something like that were purchased. So it's about even out, I think.
Okay.
Pretty close.
And the second Sunday in January and the second Sunday in February, Nancy and I will be hosting a lunch after church to be a free will offering for the Grace Team mission efforts. So put that on your calendar. Second Sunday in January, second Sunday in February, probably soup and salad. Nancy makes a pretty mean soup. She makes a potato soup that, now, most of you, I've told this story anyway, but Nancy and my mother are typical in-laws, okay? Leave it there. So about 3 years ago, my mother got sick. Nancy sent some of her potato soup over there for my mother, and my mother called back in a couple of weeks and said, "Tell Nancy that that soup saved my life." And Nancy said, "If I'd known that, I never would have sent it."
You shouldn't tell that one in church. Okay.
Any other announcements this morning?
Move to prayer concern. Chris Baston here on the front row. Where is anybody sitting in the middle? His father passed away on Monday, was buried on Thursday, and so we just lift Chris up and his family. Pam Baker had neck surgery, and it was Friday night, but she came home yesterday, so she's fine.
We pulled in a drive. The first word was the patch needs to be taken out, so now pray for me.
Okay. After the train should be moved.
Other prayer or praise? Well, let's pause for a moment of silent prayer, preparing our hearts for worshiping God. Our gathering words this morning, the angel said to the shepherds, "Behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, for to you is born in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. If you please join with me, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Alleluia. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Alleluia."
Let us pray. Lord God, we come with a hustle and bustle. We come with so many concerns, so many needs. We come with fears, frustrations, but we come into your presence. And Lord, we pray for your touch on our lives, acknowledging you as Lord of creation and Lord of life, the Creator, we being the created. Thank you, God, that we can come into the shadow of you who are the Almighty, and that you can give us that which we need that we might honor and glorify you. And we thank you for this privilege in the name of Jesus. Now we come praying that prayer that he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our service today is a bit different than normal, and we want to just kind of have a family time, if you will, a church family time, of singing the Christmas carols, or many of the Christmas carols. So let's join together singing as Sam leads us.
Let's all stand. Turn your hymnals. Hymn 120. The Advent of Our God. Please, to hymn 133. Hark the herald angels sing.
Hark, the herald angels sing.
I'll read our first scripture this morning from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her.
Turn in your hymnals now, if you will, please, to hymn 128. Again, let's sing first and last.
It came upon the midnight clear, that glorious song of old. From angels bending near the earth to touch their hearts of gold. Peace on the earth and goodwill to men, God has a gracious King. The world in silence still is laid to hear the angels sing. For long the day are hastening on, thy prophets seen of old. When heaven and earth circling near shall come the time foretold, when none who have learned shall own the Prince of Peace their King, and the whole world sing back the song which now the angels sing.
And 131. Again, first and last.
Yeah.
Reading from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Turn your hymnals now, please, to 147, Silent Night.
Offertory sentence this morning comes from John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son." Would our ushers please come forward?
Greatest gift of all, Jesus. Christ, our Lord and Savior. With Him, Lord, we have a way to heaven now. We have a Savior who shed blood on the cross for us and protect us. Give us way, Lord, to you. It's in His name that we pray today.
I do realize that it is Christmas, and I know I am singing a non-Christmas song this morning. Kirk and I were talking about it this week, and it's just my favorite song to sing at Christmas time, and I think it's because I need the reminder. My relationship with the Lord is not just that I'm coming to Him, but you know what? He wants me to come to Him, and He wants us to have communion and talking and time together. And I think at Christmas time, more than any other time, we get so caught up in the things that we are trying to do for family and friends and so forth that we sort of forget that we need to spend time with the Lord and that He really does miss our time with us.
Thank you.
my efforts have no meaning if your presence is not there. But you'll provide the power if I take time to pray. I'll stay right here beside you, and you'll never have to say. I miss my time with you, those moments together. I need to be with you each day, and it hurts me when you say you're too busy. Busy trying to serve me, but how can you serve me when your spirit's empty? There's a longing in my heart, wanting more than just a part of you. It's true, I miss my time.
Service, Miss Andrea will take care of the Advent wreath and with the children. But since we don't have a children's time or a special children's time in the 8 o'clock service, I'm going to ask the Ball family, mother and daughter, and the Tucker family, mother and daughter, to come forward and assist at the Advent wreath. Pink candle. The candles have different meanings to different people, different years. And through the years, we have used various words or subjects and let a candle represent that. This year, we've talked about the candle of hope, the candle of love, the candle of faith, and the pink candle is traditionally been, in many instances, the candle of joy. So if one of you will light the pink candle, the candle of joy. For many people, Christmas is not a time of joy. The media tells us, and I think the record would show, that many people get frustrated and are desperate during the Christmas season. I'm not sure, though, that you can know Jesus and celebrate His birth without experiencing some joy. As Christians, we come together today or throughout the Christmas season experiencing joy. There's another word that Miss Andrea said that she wanted to use today, and we've kind of corresponded on this, was peace. Peace and joy. It's a joy when we are at peace. And I think the two go together. Two words, or two verses. One is Luke chapter 2, verse 10. The angel said, "I bring you good tidings of great joy." And then in chapter 2, verse 14, we have the phrase, "Peace on earth, goodwill toward men." The pink candle, the candle of joy and peace. And then the white candle, since we don't have a Christmas Day service, we'll go ahead and light that candle to represent Christ. Miss Jessica, will you light the Christ candle? Jesus, who is the Christ? Some modern-day phrases. Let's keep Christ in Christmas. Never forget that He is the reason for the celebration during the season. Let us pray. Lord God, thank You. Thank You for faith to believe. Thank You for the hope that people of long ago had concerning the coming of a Savior, the hope that we have that He'll come and take us home. Thank You, Lord, for peace and joy, but thank You especially for Jesus who brings it to us. In His name, amen. Thank You so much. Miss Julie is coming. I failed to say earlier, Diana Stout, grandmother, 96 years old, passed away week before last. She was, we have mentioned it last Sunday, that she was even on her way home at that time, but Diana's here, so you may want to offer to her your words of condolence. Welcome back, Diana.
Today's third scripture reading is the birth of Jesus as recorded in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." The Word of God for the people of God.
We're technologically lacking this morning, but we had church a long time before we had a lot of technology. Our modern technology, did we not? As you say, Lord. Friday morning I woke up thinking, and if that surprises you, every once in a while, I do think. Some people wonder about that. Sometimes I act before I think. But recently, I've had to stop and think even before I speak. Maybe it is that I have learned to think before you speak. But Friday morning, I woke up thinking about all of the greatness. The greatness surrounding the birth of Jesus. The thought kept going through my head. All stops were removed, or it seems like God just pulled out all stops. But friends, I've heard the story so many times that I am prone to forget the glory and the majesty and the greatness and the excitement that is present in this experience. As we read the story this morning, we've read two from Luke, one from Matthew, and we've heard it. And it's almost become too common. And some people say that familiarity breeds contempt. I hope that that is not my case. I won't let it be the case with my reading or hearing the story of the birth of Jesus. But sometimes I am prone to say, yeah, I've heard that before. And I'm prone to skim over it and not look in detail. But let's consider the majesty of the experience, the greatness, the power. It's all there. The loveliness. A teenage girl. A fiancé. Or prospective groom. And an approaching wedding. And I've dealt with enough people as their wedding approach that, oh, what excitement. What majesty. What could you call it? Pomp and circumstance? All that we associate with a wedding, the planning of one, and understand that the Jewish wedding was something to behold. The angel, that's more marvelous than anything I've seen. Have you seen an angel? Have you heard from an angel? An angel, we even have a name for this angel, the angel Gabriel. And then an angel again. Just no name, just an angel of the Lord. And an angel again. And then the heavenly host, or as the amplification of the Amplified Bible, the editors have put it, then there appeared with the angel an army of the troops of heaven. An army of the troops of heaven. And there's a parenthesis, a heavenly knighthood. Think of that, if you can. You may need to close your eyes. I won't think you're sleeping. They were praising God. And they were saying, glory to God in the highest, or glory to God in heaven, and on earth peace among men, with whom He is well pleased, men of good will, men of His favor. A bright star, a star not like other stars, and then an order from the emperor, Augustus Caesar, no less. An executive order, if you will, of the ruler of the world, of the known world at that time. And then we read about a long journey, and then the birth of a baby. And that's always a blessed experience, is it not? A crowded town, and every town likes a crowd. They hope that they will be economically successful because the crowd has come. And they were experiencing this, and at least in Bethlehem, and it's in the story. But then, back in Jerusalem, there was a vengeful king. So we have an emperor, we have a king. We have more kings or wise men, however you want to refer to them. There were some shepherds. Angels again and a heavenly host. We've already mentioned that. But most important, there was God. God was present in all of this. Not only present, but God was directing this. I do think, at least, that I did go back and try to experience some of the majesty of the experience of Jesus being born. All of this that we read about, but as we say, to top it all off, over it all, the main character in all of this is God. God of the Creator. God of the universe. We read about Him back in Genesis. Creation. We read about Him dealing with His people throughout the Old Testament. And now we read about Him sending a Redeemer. Somebody to redeem His people. God. So as we think of the Christmas experience, as we read the Christmas story, as we reflect upon it, let's keep God. It's God's doing. Let's keep God at the center of our thoughts. God sent the angel to Mary. All of this was God's doing. All of it. And in this experience, I'm not calling it just a story. In this experience, We see Him, God, in His grace and in His power. Gospel of John, the first chapter. John's account of Jesus coming. The Word, or Jesus, or God. God was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, John says, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God. God coming to earth. God directing all of this, but God coming to earth to live among men. And my prayer is, forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord, when I read this and don't get excited and skim over it. Forgive me, Lord, when the story of the birth of our Lord and Savior becomes mundane. Join with me for a few moments as we examine the experience of the angel coming to Mary and her response. This was no small thing. And as we look at Mary's response to the angel coming, we see that Mary's response is not that much different from the response of Joseph. Examine them, if you will. We have her words, but we have his action. And his actions show, to me at least, and I trust to you, I trust I'm right, that they were on the same page. Her words were, "Let it be unto me according to your word, O Lord." That's who she was talking to. And Joseph's action says, "Let it be to me according to your word." Matthew 1:24, we have Joseph's actions. William Willimon is dean of Duke University Chapel, and I read one of his sermons this week. Some people kind of pick at me for borrowing other people's sermons. Well, I read them, and I'm blessed by them. Sometimes I find something I need to share with you or feel that I do. And in William Willimon's sermon on this passage from Luke chapter 1, the announcement to Mary called the Annunciation, in an official way, I guess, Willimon stresses the call of Mary to service in God's kingdom. This is a call of God to Mary to be of service in God's kingdom. I read another sermon by a person, I'm not sure who he was, another preacher, published in Preacher's Magazine. And he emphasizes that in this passage, we see God doing the seemingly impossible. So, we put these two together, I've kind of done that today, and Willimon talks about God calling people and Mary's response. And calling people to be involved in what normally we would say impossible. It's not possible. It happens all the time, though, does it not? God calls people. God calls people. God calls us. God calls us to be involved in His work in the world. And often God calls upon us to do that which is seemingly impossible. You've experienced it, have you not? We all have, I believe. How can it happen? Well, look at Mary and her experience. Willimon points out that the first thing that Gabriel announces to Mary was that the Lord is with you. The next thing we see is the angel Gabriel said to Mary, "Blessed art thou among women." So if God is with us, and if God is blessing us, let's just, you can jump to the end if you will, nothing is impossible. But the Bible is full of this sort of thing. Somebody minding their own business, and then it appears that it's out of nowhere, but we know that it's really from God. There comes a call. God calls a person. Sometimes the person is startled by that call. Sometimes they become fearful, and that happened to Mary. Mary was fearful. How do we know she is fearful? The angel said, "Don't be afraid." Often, like Mary, the recipient of God's call, the one that hears God calling them and wants to respond, at least says, "What is it, God?" And when He tells us what it is, we say, "How can this be?" She was going to be a mother. But how could this be? She's not even married yet, engaged. But a young woman without any particular education or preparation, so far as we know, how can this be that I would be the mother of God, she says, the mother of the Savior? Anybody receiving such a call from God would likely ask a similar question, how can this be? Or why would you choose me? Why would I be chosen? And then we see Mary answering the call, "Let it be to me according to your word." But Mary's not the only one. Isaiah was called. Sixth chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah says, "Here I am, Lord, send me." Abraham got a call. When Abraham was called, he was told he was going to be the father of a great nation. He was already an old man. He was almost too dumbfounded to speak, probably because he was such an old man. But his wife, when she heard the call, you know, she had to be a part of Abraham's call. It had to be something together for them. Sarah burst out laughing. Willimon says that it seems like God is in the calling business, even today, or maybe especially today. And let me tell this story, and I won't keep you all morning. But he says he teaches a class for people in their first year of seminary. And these are people that go to seminary are people who feel called to the ministry. Graduate school for preachers, if you will. And he says the first thing that he has them do, his students, is to write a paper, "My call to ordained ministry." And they describe on paper how they feel that God had called them. And he says he reads many things, visions from God, but then he reads about people saying, and this was an interesting one that you may can identify with, and maybe you can't. I don't know. I just thought it was kind of funny and cute, but interesting and got to the point. One woman said she had been married to a preacher, a pastor, for 15 years. And one afternoon, as a preacher's wife, she was sitting on the sofa in the parsonage. She was smoking a cigarette, drinking a beer, and reading some trashy supermarket checkout line novel. Her husband walked in, remember he was the pastor, and said something like, "You sure don't look like a pastor's wife." And she came back with a quick retort. She stomped out the cigarette first, threw down her novel, and shouted to her husband, "I am a wife, not a pastor." This was her testimony. She was trying to tell her husband to back off. Leave her alone. But as soon as the words came out of her mouth, "I'm not a pastor," she said it was like the voice in her brain kept saying, "How do you know you're not called to be a pastor?" A voice, just like that. And she testified, or she wrote, things started working on her brain over the next few days. And after a period of over a year of struggle, she entered seminary to herself become a pastor. Just one of the many things. Many calls. The many ways that God calls us. Back to the story of Mary, a pregnant virgin having a child and remaining a virgin. Impossible. No way. It will happen. An oxymoron, if you will. Or Joseph, following through on the marriage when he discovers his bride-to-be is pregnant. Impossible. No way. Won't happen. Or Mary avoiding death when the neighbors hear the news because an adulteress, stoning to death was the penalty. No way. Impossible. Won't happen. But Mary lived. Like Mary, when we're called, we think of the reasons. It just doesn't make sense. Do we not? How can this be? Gabriel says, with God. And Mary says, as you say, Lord. What is God calling you to do? What ministry, what work, short term or for a lifetime, is He calling you to do? Is He calling you to experience salvation? Yeah, He can save you. That's why Jesus went to the cross, to pay for your sin. Impossible? No. Possible with God. Because all things are. And your salvation, if that's your need today, is so possible. Teach a class, start a class, or a cup of cold water for a thirsty person, and you delivering it. Or work at the Nashville Union Mission the day after Christmas. You know, everybody wants to go on Christmas Day, right? They get in the paper. They get publicity. But the day after Christmas, work at the Union Mission. Or maybe God is calling you to work on Christmas Day. I don't know. Become a missionary. Become a preacher. And there are many, many other things that God may be calling you to do. For His kingdom, it's possible if you will respond. Let's sing together, 138. Let's hear the message as those around us tell us about Jesus Christ, the Savior, being born. And how can we be involved? How would God have us involved in telling that story? Let's sing the first verse, 138. Stand together, if you will. If your response is a public one, we invite you to come and share it here in this altar this morning.
Go tell them. Thank you.
go tell it on the mountains, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the